Good morning and welcome to New Life Community. Today is going to be an exciting day worshiping the Lord. It is going to be a great day, and I just welcome you to our service, whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you are watching on YouTube Live. I want to say a special thanks to Barb and to Heather, who are back there trying to figure out. Heather has never been in the sound booth, and she is trying to figure out the camera, so give her some grace. Out there in YouTube land, don't complain too much. She's doing the best she can. And that means screens and recordings and everything else. So there's a lot going on. And I don't think that you were able to check the words and make sure they were right either. So good luck back there. Anyway. It is good to worship the Lord. And you know, one of the things that I know is, so we're using technology today. We have a live stream that is due to technology. I'm reading the scripture from my iPad. That's marvelous technology. But then we have old school here. We have flannel graph. You know, the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ transcends all things. And the love of God is available for each and every one of us. And that's what we want to celebrate today. Even in this season of confusion and chaos in our world, it is our faith that anchors us. It is our faith in God and in the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that gives us a sure foundation and provides us with the shield that we need to overcome the flaming missiles of our adversary. There is one who is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if we will cling to Christ and keep the faith, the shield of faith up and on, we will be victorious. So that's good news. Hebrews 11, 1-3 says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I just want you to stop and think about those words for a second. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We hope for eternal life. We hope in the love and the goodness of our God. We hope in the salvation of many. We hope in a lot of things. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance that those things that we hope for are going to be real. They're going to be realized. They're going to come about. There's a confident expectation. The conviction of things not seen. We can't see God. We can't touch Him, taste Him, smell Him. But we know that He exists and that He is our God and that He has us in this moment. Faith is what assures us of those things. Faith in Him is what holds us together. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. And we have a list of old that goes back even farther now. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You see, by faith, we believe that there is a God and that He created all things and that He has a purpose for all things and that He is going to work all things together for good. That's what faith does for us. And that's what enables us to stand protected against our adversary. Let's bow in faith, believing. Father, we do believe You're there. We don't believe that we're just talking into the air. Lord, we don't believe that the words that I'm saying that go out over the internet are heard only by those in YouTube land. We believe that You, the Almighty God, who always was, currently is, and always will be, the very source of all things, the very meaning of existence, You hear us and You care. And You come to meet us where we are. Father God, thank You for this day and for the privilege that we have to worship you, to adore you, to praise you, to give thanks to you, and to acknowledge that you are God, and you are on your throne, and all will be well for us here. Give us that calm assurance that only comes from trusting you. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore.
So we're looking at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. We're talking about the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. We are talking about being armed. And so let's read this passage one more time, because His word does not return to us empty. And every time, I don't know if you do this, but every time I read it, something new kind of hits me. Something new really strikes me. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. These are powerful words, and whether it's finally or from now on, whether it's something that we are to do, you know, as you know, His last instruction, or whether it's something that He just wants us to be sure that we do, we need to make sure that we put on this armor. Let's bow before our Lord once again. Father, today, open our minds to Your Scripture. Help us to hear Your voice. Lord, block out my words. And may Your words be heard, that You would be glorified, because, Father, it's all about You. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So as we come to this passage today, we have already considered the fact that, first of all, we need to wake up. I've alluded to that in my earlier comments, that I think we've become somewhat complacent, and the church in America has sort of felt as though, you know, we aren't on a battlefield and we're not in war, and we've had it our way for way too long. And so I think it's really important for us to just wake up and realize that, you know, yeah, we're on a battlefield here. And that we have a very real enemy who does prowl about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. And that he's not by himself. He's not a single entity or individual, but he is captain of a host. He is over a vast army, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. And it's really important for us to realize that, and to realize that there are these two realms and that they're at conflict, Satan and his spiritual forces of wickedness against God and the heavenly host, and we are on the playing field, and we are here caught in the midst of this battle, and it's a battle Satan wants to woo as many people away from God as he can, woo them into death and to destruction, and God seeks to preserve and to restore and to redeem his children, the ones that he made. And so we come to this, and we realized then as we came to this battle and as we come to this that the war has already been won by the might of our Lord. And the enemy is not the human beings that we encounter. The shooters in Chicago and in Texas are not the enemy. The police officers that did what they did, they're not the enemy. The enemy lies behind them, and the enemy may use them and twist them to his purposes, deceive them. But the real enemy lies behind them, and we need to be praying for the redemption of all people and for forgiveness and reconciliation and healing for all people. And a lot of what we have to do in this passage of Scripture when we think about the spiritual warfare is that we really need to just stand in God's armor, and we need to understand that it is God's armor. It is everything that he has provided for us and he makes available to us. I love the very opening of this passage. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You know, we can't do this on our own, but God is willing to do it for us and through us. So we have to align our minds with the truth. We need to put on that belt of truth. We need to part of putting on the belt of truth is acknowledging that, yes, there are two realms, that there is a spiritual realm that we can't see, and that there's a conflict going on around us, that we have to put that truth on. Another part of going into the truth is going into the Word of God and finding out what God has to say and what God has revealed, and resting and relying more in what God says and what God does than what the media says and what the even well-minded religious leaders who would not necessarily align with God's word. We need to keep coming back to God's word and to God's truth. We need to keep coming back to the person who is the truth, Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we need to keep coming back to him and aligning ourselves with him. And we need to be encircled with that. We need the breastplate of righteousness put on. And you've got this flannel graph here. I don't know if all of you can see it, but you've got, you know, the belt of truth, and you can see the leather greaves hanging down and all that kind of stuff. Gotta love it when your wife, as a, you know, children's kind of a person, gives you her tools to help visualize. You know, you got your Roman soldier here. You got the breastplate of righteousness, and you can see that it wraps around, and it helps you out a lot. And that breastplate of righteousness, remember, it's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. It is the righteousness that was bought for us. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. God gives us the righteousness that belongs to his Son. And he clothes us with that. But then we have to live into it. And so that's the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet need to be shod with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace. And one of the things that I think it's really important for us to know the gospel message, to know the good news, that there is a God the Father, creator, sustainer of all things, who is over all, who is holy, 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 who is absolutely glorious and mighty and powerful. He is Almighty God, and he is other than us. And he is perfect in every way, and we are sinners in rebellion against him. And that God loved us so much that he took compassion upon us, and that he sent his Son to become one of us, to take on flesh like us, to become one of us, Philippians chapter 2 tells us. And that he would then die in our place, becoming obedient even to the point of death on the cross, becoming obedient to his Father in heaven for the point and the purpose of our redemption, so that then we could be at peace with God. Okay, that is the good news, that we can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that we can be transferred from enemies of the kingdom of God to servants in the kingdom of God. Servants and children of the Most High God. What love the Father has lavished on us. So it's that we are solid and firm and established because of the peace that we have through Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so last week I talked about the fact that I think that some of that just has to do with knowing that we're in right relationship with God and that we have that peace with God that enables us then to stand firm against all the lies of Satan. Because one of Satan's things, who are you? You know, why do you think you're anything? Why would God love you? Doesn't Satan whisper that kind of stuff to us? But when we're at peace with God, when we have accepted what God has done for us and we stand firm in that, then we can say, God says that he loves me. No, I'm not worthy, but God says that he loves me. And God says that he has chosen me. And so I rest in him. And that's then, it comes to the shield, right? The shield of faith. It's believing that which we perhaps cannot see. So we're going to be looking at the shield of faith today, and we're going to be thinking about it. And the first thing that I want to do for you is, you know, so we're wearing these other things. We're taking up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming missiles, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, man, my head is just running in so many directions. First of all, I want to describe how this shield was made in the Roman world and just give you a little bit of a history lesson. So this is an inadequate shield, okay? This Romans back in the day tended to be more like 5.5 feet tall, 5 to 5.5 feet tall. They weren't real tall. And the shield is supposed to be 4 feet tall. Now, if it was a 5.5 foot soldier and a 4 foot shield, you can see that it would guard a whole lot more of them, right? It's 4 feet tall, and which is what, right about here? Somewhere in that area? 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide. And it's made of two pieces of wood that are crossed and glued. They're laminated together. Why, anybody who's carpentry minded, why would you have two pieces of wood instead of one and cross them? So that it doesn't split, exactly. So that you can't just have a soldier come with a sword, hit the top of it, and split that whole thing and cause it to fall away. Or a flaming arrow comes in or whatever and it splits apart. We don't want that thing to split apart on us. And so the grain's running different directions. They're glued together. So that's the first thing. Then it's wrapped in canvas. And the canvas is both glued and tacked on. Then it's wrapped in bull hide. They get the thickest, hardest hide they can. They cure it really well. They make sure it's really dense and tough. And they wrap it in that, okay? And they put that on it. And then they have it bound on the top and the bottom with metal. It's bound on the top with metal so that that thing that I showed you before, a soldier swiping down with the sword, is going to hit metal instead of hitting wood. Okay? It's just going to bounce off. It's also shod at the bottom with metal so that as it's, you can imagine, this thing's probably getting dragged along the ground a lot. Have you ever carried a door around? The name for this shield comes from the word door. You know, you're strapping basically a door to your arm and you're carrying it everywhere. And we're not talking the hollow core doors that we have. We're talking a solid door. They were not lightweight. And to compound or to add insult to injury, they would soak this before they went into battle. They would lay it and soak it in water because they knew that one of the tactics of warfare were flaming missiles. Okay? And A leather that is soaked in water is much more likely to quench that flame. Leather and wood soaked in water is also a lot heavier. That's why it's bound at the bottom with metal as well, so they can drag it along in front of them. But you know, they set it down and it's gonna stand firm and they're gonna be able to be protected behind it. That's the picture of the shield. Now, Paul here is using an analogy, right? We're not relying on a literal physical shield of this nature, but he's grabbing a hold of a picture that he has seen probably at use within the Roman soldiers and within the Roman army, and he knows the value of this shield. This shield is, I mean, you don't want to go out there without this kind of shield because you're going to be toast. And so he's saying, take up that shield. There's going to be an active, energetic need to take it up. You have to be diligent about doing that. Now, in the very first part of this, it says, in all circumstances. At least that's what the ESV says. Does anybody have something other than in all circumstances? Those of you who are here, this is my moment to try and wake you up again. In all circumstances. Is that what you all have? Verse 16, sorry. The shield of faith in all circumstances. Did I say? Yeah. In addition to all this, besides all these. So the beginning of this verse can be read two different ways. Okay? And it depends on how you choose to translate the Greek. And some say, in addition to the breastplate and to the belt and to the shoes, you know, in addition to these, take up the shield and the helmet and the sword. And so it could be in addition to, but it's also it can also be, the word can very easily be translated in all circumstances, in every situation. I don't think it really matters which way you translate it, because the idea is going to be the same. You need to have this thing, and you need to be holding it. The shield of faith. Well, let's talk just a little bit about the shield of faith. I've already talked to you about the shield in a material soldier's context, but a faith. Faith is what? What is faith? What are we doing when we're holding up the shield of faith? When we think of the word faith, what do we think of? And so it's really important that we kind of wrestle through this. So I'm going to do this very quickly. I really like to be interactive. Can any of you out there tell me what you think of when you think of faith? Okay, you think of trust. Okay, you think of trust. Belief. Living the way things are, even though it doesn't appear to be that way right now. Okay? Trust, belief, living the way things are as defined by God, as opposed to the way it appears to be right now from our earthbound perspective. Okay? So, all of you are grabbing a hold of faith as in kind of what we do. Okay, you're grabbing a hold of the aspect of faith in terms of the way we live. And that's good. I don't have a problem with that. But faith is also the substance of what we believe. Keep the faith is a statement that could be made that says, what is the content of that faith? And it's important that we have both of these. It's both things. It's not one or the other. We need to make sure that we're placing our faith in the right thing, that we are living into faith. So, for example, an illustration that my wife gave me just yesterday as we were driving home from the mountains. We're coming down the mountains, and we were talking about faith. And she said, well, you know, you talked about the chair and, you know, placing your faith in the chair and how you look at the content of the chair. You look at its structure. You look at its form. You decide whether or not you might want to sit on it. You know, if this chair was studded with a whole bunch of nails coming up and from the back, you probably would say, yeah, that chair might support me, but I don't think I'm going to sit in it. You know, you would say that. Or perhaps you're at a yard sale and you're going along and you're looking at chairs and you pull this thing out. Have you ever done this? You pull a chair out at a yard sale or whatever and you put a little bit of weight on it and it rocks all over the place and you're like, yeah, I don't think I want to trust this, okay? But how many of you have ever, I know this has happened to some people, how many of you have ever placed your faith in a perfectly good-looking, solid-looking chair only to be let down? To have that chair collapse. I've had that happen to me. Rather embarrassing. Makes you think you need to go on a diet or something. But, you know, we do that. See, what we place our faith in matters as much as our exercising that faith. And this shield, the shield has to do with the content, while the holding it has to do with the practicing it. Okay? And so it's really important that when we're thinking about faith, that we're thinking about God. And we're thinking about God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're thinking about the truths that He has revealed. That we are understanding that all of these things that we've already said. I mean, if we go back up and we say, for example, well, and I, man, too much information, too little time. Let's just grab this one. Standing against the schemes of the devil. What devil? You know, who says? Oh, come on. That's a bunch of rot. Superstitious mumbo jumbo. You see, that's what a lot of people would say. And we have to decide whether or not we're going to have faith in what God has revealed in His Word, or whether we're going to have faith in what philosophers and scientists and politicians and economists, that's the word, have to say, rather than putting our trust or our faith in what humans say. Another area then of the aspect of faith is just that we have to then exercise that. And this is what I kind of wanted to talk about. How do we then exercise this? So we have this belief structure. And I think it's really important that you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. I think it was Paul Little that wrote a book about that. Does that sound familiar, Tom? It would have been in the 70s or 80s. I'm dating myself. Paul Little, I believe, wrote a book, Know What You Believe and Why You Believe It. That is huge because that's what makes the structure of this shield. You know what you believe and you know why you believe it. That's why reading the scripture, having Bible study, going to Sunday school, doing 20-20-20s, being engaged with like-minded believers is so important, is so that we know what the content of this shield is. But then we have to exercise it. So we have these flaming missiles that come at us. Now we get into interactive flannel graph time, you know. We have these flaming missiles from the devil, and they come in, and we have hatred here. And hatred comes flying in, and what is hatred a response to? Injustice. Oftentimes, yes, injustice. Fear. It can be a fear response, right? What else? Injustice. Fear. Offense. How about let's just get down to real simple brass tacks. You've been hurt. Okay? Something has gone wrong. Someone in this world or something in this world has come against you, and it hurts. It stings. And you need now to exercise the shield of faith. How do you diffuse the hatred that wants to rise up in you, the anger that wants to come up in you, how do you exercise the shield of faith to overturn hatred and animosity towards another? Pray. Thank you. First resort, always a good one, pray. Father, help. What else might we do? Remembering that the judge of all the earth shall do right. How about remembering a verse like this? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You see, when we have hatred, we get consumed with thoughts of revenge and trying to get even and everything. And so then what's the outcome of all this? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The Lord will do right. We've been on our knees in the presence of the Lord, and we've been asking him to help us. So then what do we have to do? Surrender. You have to love. Love conquers hate, right? Love conquers hate. Love those who do good to those who... man, David, I need you to help me, man. Need the Holy Spirit to help me. Pray for those who persecute you. I got that part of it. Anyway, do good to those who hate you. All those kinds of things. You begin to do that, you respond in love, which is a sign of something else. Forgiveness. Thank you, Eunice. Forgiveness. You see, we operate out of the kingdom principle and the kingdom quality of forgiveness instead of responding out of the enemy's way of doing things. You see, there are two realms, and each realm has its own unique operating parameters. God's operating parameter works off of love. The other one off of hate. God's off of harmony and unity. The other off of division and discord. And so we have to begin to work towards overcoming that by owning the content of Scripture. By the way, Jesus in the wilderness did not overcome by saying, well, I think that maybe it would be better for me to just continue to fast than to turn these rocks into bread. Yeah, I could do it, but, you know, I think, it'd just be better not to. He didn't do that. What did he do? He went to Scripture. It is written. And so that's the shield, right? The shield is the truth of God. It's all that we believe because of who God is and what he has revealed. We go to that. It is written. And so with hatred, we realize, no, we are supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to do good to those who persecute us. So we don't do that. I'm just going to skip a lot of these. Okay, we're going to grab this one. We got another arrow coming in, and Satan says, you know, you're really something. You did great today. I'm sorry, dear. I'm moving all over the place and making it really hard for you back there. And so pride, you know, it comes in. Pride, you know, oh, man. Yeah, I'm something. No. I'm nothing. Humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God. You see, you take the content of this and you say, there is none righteous. No, not one. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am saved not by my works, but by what God has done through Jesus Christ. It's not about me, it's about God. And we get rid of pride with humility and with a right understanding of our relationship with God the Father. So this shield is hugely important. This shield is all about the content of the faith, what we believe and why we believe it. But it is also then using that shield, using that content, using that belief in order to diffuse and extinguish the darts that are hurled at us. Does that make sense to you all? Okay, so that's the point. We need to wrap up. The music team can come up as I pray. But here's the thing. Take up that shield of faith. Make sure you know what you believe and why you believe it. Study it. Come on up. Keep coming. And trust that God will win this battle through you and for you. He will show you how to use His word to overcome. Father, help us to hold up that shield of faith. Help us to anchor ourselves in the I believes of the church. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the three in one. Help us to cling to the fact that we believe that, yes, we are sinners, and that our sin separates us from you, but we believe that you loved us so much that you couldn't bear that separation, and you desired to redeem us and to reconcile us, and so you had a plan, and that plan existed before eternity. Help us to cling, Father, to the we believe the fact that Jesus Christ became flesh. He was born, He lived, He walked, He moved among us to show us your love, your grace, your goodness, to speak your truth to us, and ultimately to lay down His life as a ransom for many. Help us to believe that in Jesus Christ and through His atoning work on the cross, our sins have been forgiven, and that we stand dressed in your righteousness. Help us to cling, Father, to all of these things and to hold them up, and through them to diffuse the flaming arrows of our adversary. Because God, you are our God, and we believe in you. So help us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.